Waitley on SEN.
It's Nature Strip in front of Eduardo. Classique Legends rattling home. Nature Strip in front of Eduardo. Nature Strip kept going. Eduardo. Mars Crusaders jumping out of the ground. Just missed. Nature Strip clings on. He's king of the mountain this time. Nature Strip from the fast finishing Mars Crusader and Eduardo.
I didn't know whether to start with that or not. Has therapy started? Has therapy finished? Maybe it's better to offer this as therapy.
Station hand in front, here's Octagonal and Germ with a mighty run. Then getting through is on the inside Mahogany. Mahogany rails up with Octagonal at the 200 metre mark. It's on the outside Octagonal. Mahogany coming at him, stride for stride now on the Cox Plate. Mahogany, Octagonal, Octagonal, Mahogany. Octagonal's got his nose in front. Octagonal wins the Cox Plate. Wins it ahead, Mahogany, two lengths away, third station hand.
Small margins, Wayne Hawks, and all the emotions that can be tied into them. Welcome.
Good morning, Jared. You should have started the other way around.
Yes.
Hand on my heart, I didn't have a goosebump with Mars Crusader and Nature Strip. As soon as you put the big O up there, gee whiz, I felt the goosebumps on the legs. It's I described it to someone as getting beat by 1 point in a grand final. So it's a bit like watching the Olympics as we've just come out of that going... Yep. How must these people feel getting beaten 1/100th of a second in their swimming or whatever and getting a silver? And they were so excited. Personally, I think I'd rather run third, yes, knowing there's a buffer between you and the winner. But, yeah, it was bittersweet. There's no doubt about that with Mars Crusader. But the prize money check was the big winner out of the race.
Yeah. We got some messages on Monday. So the idiosyncrasies of horses. He's the most theatrical horse since Chautauqua. Why can't you get him to get out of the gates? That was the question that was being asked. Why are horses so damn stubborn?
Oh, tell me about it. You wouldn't believe you've just gone from Chautauqua to this bloke, and the similarities are so there.
Yep.
And look, to be fair, he's not as good as Chautauqua, but I'll tell you, he's not far behind. And if he had the racing pattern of Black Caviar or Nature Strip, he'd be unbeatable, wouldn't he? And so would Chautauqua, but that's, you know... If, you know, a full-back could kick goals, they'd be kicking 100 goals a year, wouldn't they? But, yeah, it's great theatre for everybody else except for the people involved, I think. But then when Mars Crusader won at Moonee Valley the night the Wizard from the West burst through the middle of them under lights, and there was most of the owners standing there, and gee, they were back in the days where you could hug each other at the races. And you could go to the races and your owners could be there with you. I mean, that was one of the most special nights that I'll ever, ever have at Moonee Valley, and I've been lucky to have some great nights. So, yeah.
So, as a trainer, so Michael's in Sydney, you're here. When he's with you, Mars Crusader, do you spend time trying to train him to get out of the gates?
You do, but the bottom line with it all is that he's not – that Chautauqua in the end stood there.
Yep.
This bloke's not standing there. No. What he's not – he's jumping with them, but his first three or four steps are bloody slow.
Right.
So it'd be – mate, if old mate in the 100-metre sprint was just a bit tardy, you know, Usain Bolt was tardy out of the gates, so to speak, he wouldn't be Usain Bolt. So you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And
yep.
I was famous for saying Chautauqua licked windows, but the truth was Wayne Hawks was the one that should have been licking windows in the back of the bus because Chautauqua was up the front driving it. Now, I don't want to go down that same path with Mars Crusader, but yes, you put some time and effort into the horse and try and help him along and coax him along, but it's not like they've had a bad experience or, you know, it's not like they've gone off in the gates and played up, and that does happen. I mean, you can be Mr. Innocent and I'm in gate one and gate two, the horse goes off for some reason, and then your horse after that becomes fractious and nervous, and so it is a, you know, it's not a confidence thing because the horse jumps out. I mean, you know, the Wizard from the West, W. Pike, will be saying, "Hey, last time I rode him, he flew out the gates, and I was four lengths closer, and I flogged him." And that's the difference. He doesn't have to be back last. If he jumped cleanly, he'd be four lengths closer, and yeah, as I was reminded walking to the toilet when I saw Gary Lyon this morning, he said, "Mate, what was it worth?" I said, "Shut up."
So it's Manukato Cox Plate weekend. So we should. The giddy heights of Chautauqua and the Manukato?
Chautauqua is going to need his big special run. He's last as they come to the turn. Buffering doing it tough, but he loves it that way. He leads from Rich Enough, Alpha Miss. Here's Tiger Tees and Sri Candy around the outside. Now Chautauqua's got into the clear. Buffering the leader. Sri Candy after him. Chautauqua coming on strongly. Sri Candy hit the front. Chautauqua mows it down. Pounced, races away, and won like a champion. Won it by 2 lengths.
God, he could win like a champion, couldn't he?
Well, the race is clearly in front of me. I mean, I think the 10 seconds before, he said the champ was back there with a lot of work to do. And before you knew it, Tommy Berry was fair nicking right up behind Sri Candy, and she was the back of the leading pack. And he come back and said, I went from going nowhere to climbing on Sri Candy's heels, and I just hooked him sideways. It'd be like being on the Westgate and seeing the accident happen in front of you, and you're just having a quick look and hooking to your right and getting out of that lane. And before you knew it, was over and done with, and Tommy stood up in the irons and went, Yahoo, I've won, and was all over in a blinking of the eye.
What sort of adrenaline charge does it give you? Like, do you get nervy ahead of big races?
Generally, no. You know, I mean, because I look at someone like Damien Oliver, and Damien Oliver's the perfect specimen, because if you said to Damien, mate, you're on the best horse, and he just wins, a bloke like him goes, thanks, now I know I can get the job done. And there's certain jockeys that you can actually say that to, and they relish it. Tommy Berry's another one you can. I won't say the jockeys that I feel aren't like that, but there are certain jockeys that actually just love that sort of hype and adrenaline. But I don't get that nervy very often. I got a bit nervous on Saturday. Phone rang, and I've got the races, and Max Gorn's rung me. And I've gone, this is how I've answered. Da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. And he went, ha-ha-ha, what are you doing? I said, well, you know what I'm doing. I said, you're sitting at home with your feet on the man pillow or whatever you superstars do, and I'm at the races, and he's Masked Crusader, blah, blah, blah. Yep, good as gold. I said, I didn't want to ring you and say congratulations, but well done. Da-da-da-da-da. I said, mate, as I say to an owner, enjoy it, because you know what? The race is run and won the next day, and all of a sudden it'll be pre-season, it'll be round one, you'll get flogged in round one, everyone will be boo-hooing you. He said, yeah, I'll drink to that, which I'm sure he did. So I hang up the phone. This is fair dinkum, and I just got so nervous from talking to him. I'm thinking, he's the coolest bloke in the world and just goes out and kills him in a prelim and whatever, and I'm not even in Sydney at the Everest. I'm at little old Caulfield on Cup Day, and I got nervous. Watched the race. Race was run and won. I'm walking down into the mountain enclosure before the Caulfield Cup, and the phone rings again. I've said to Matthew Ellett, and I said, have a look at this. He goes, oh, Max Gorn. So this is how I answered it. Hey, do I ring you at halftime? Do I? I said, it's halftime. What do you want, mate? And he just he absolutely laughed. I can't tell you the next 30 seconds of the conversation, but I'm sure you get the point. But just by someone, and it wasn't about him being an AFL legend now. It was just someone ringing you and just tipped me over the top to be starting to go, gee, look at the race is worth it. It's a grand final and good luck and rah, rah, rah. And all of a sudden it happens. You don't normally get nervous when you've got the great horse. If you're a young bloke starting off with your first good horse, I reckon you'd have a few sleepless nights. Yep. Or you backed it. But when the lucky party is being there and done it, you sleep better the night before knowing that All Too Hard's tucked up in bed and so are you. And you know what? Get up tomorrow and just go and do what you have to do.
Three-year-olds in Cox Plates. Actually, I've forgotten about All Too Hard. So you won it with Oki.
Yes.
You didn't run with Lonro.
Correct.
God, All Too Hard. I still
Ocean Park,
have a little tremors about that. And then this one, which is sort of the one I'd forgotten about until we spoke yesterday, the three-year-old who should have won, sandwiched between two of the all-time champions.
On the turn, Sunline, a length and a half in front, down to the rail from Silvano, Northerly and further back, Viscount, Sunline at the 200-metre mark, two in front, Northerly after Sunline, down the outside from Viscount, Sunline the leader, Northerly on the outside and Viscount coming at her, Sunline in front, Northerly the outside going to Sunline, they got very tight but Northerly wins the Cox Plate, a half length to Sunline, who is tight and close to the line, third in the middle is Viscount.
They got very tight, Brian Martin called it. They got so Viscount, I think if you coldly watch that race back, Viscount should have won and he should have had the protests upheld.
He ran third versus first, third versus second, and then all of a sudden Greg Charles just threw in a protest second against the winner just because he wanted to stir things up and it was one big hell of a storm for about the next 15 minutes. But Kieran McAvoy rode Viscount. He only had 49 in his back, and he said there was about three galloping action strides that his feet didn't touch the ground. And we were like, yeah, whatever. He goes, no, I'm telling you. We were that tight. I was carried, and this was all 50 metres before the winning post. I think today, with the way that the rules are and the stewards are very, very strict on jockeys, I reckon it certainly, 100% second against third versus second would have been upheld. But whether the winner, but it would have probably gone very, very close. And to be fair to Chief Steward Des Gleeson, it would have been a shocking time because there was about 400 in that steward's room. And, it wasn't good. Geez, you're bringing up the bad ones, Jared. I thought this was all just fun.
I know that.
All right, so
winning Cox Plate with three-year-old. Yep. Animo and Captivant. I actually think Captivant's got a great chance as well, but Animo looks like the right three-year-old. So what was it about Oki that made him the right three-year-old for a Cox Plate?
Well, he got beaten in the Caulfield Guineas. He sat back last and against our Maize K and flew home 3-1. And you've got to know your horse because you run a three-year-old that's not ready, you'll bust them. There's no doubt about that. And some of those three-year-olds just don't come back. And they probably would have. But some of these big races, it's just like putting the – Tim Watson sat in the chair next to me an hour ago, Jared. Tim Watson was 16 playing AFL and was a superstar nearly at that stage. It doesn't happen very often. You can get away with it with the absolute greats. And, you know, All Too Hard was a big, strong, powerful horse. I mean, Animo was the best two-year-old. There's no doubt he's the best three-year-old. He's a perfect inclusion into the race. I mean, I reckon Animo runs 2,000 metres. He wins. He wins because I don't reckon the opposition's as strong as what we've seen. And I mean, is there a Northerly? Is there a Sunline? Is there a Might and Power? The answer is there's not. So I reckon Animo's got every chance. Captivant is the next level down, but he only just got beaten the other day. But I'll tell you one thing, what Captivant does, he tries so hard and he probably lacks the class, but he really gives you 110%. And the weight differential is about 10 kilos. So go to the shop, and then on your way out to the car, when you're carrying your loaf of bread and your 4 litres of milk, because your kids love eating too many Kellogg's cornflakes and keep all that. Do your kids leave all the milk at the bottom? They just eat the top part?
Yeah, it ends up in the bottom of the
dishwasher.
Correct.
It's just a waste. So you walk out with those heavy bags. Mate, 10 kilos is 10 kilos.
So if I went for a run with Kane Corns, I would need to saddle him heavily with 10 kilos of milk.
Correct.
Really, wouldn't I?
100% you would. So there's an old adage and a saying in racing that weight stops trains. So where you have the advantage is you've basically got 10 kilo difference, but you still need the class because the top class horses can carry the weight. And that's the difference between a great weight for age horse and a handicapper. And the other difference is weight for age horses have got an excellent sprint. There's not many weight for age horses that are real one pace grinders that just keep, you know, one of my old horses, Freemason. He was a weight for age, but he wasn't really.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So the great weight for age horses just travel, and they just explode like a Tarkwa does off the front, and they run 32 off the front. You can't beat them. So we haven't had many great three-year-olds run in the Cox Plate, but I reckon we might have a great one this year in Animo. So nice. I think it'll set it up to be a great race. And I reckon nothing against Matthew Smith, but I reckon they've done a good thing in keeping the other horse out. And it's not about personalities and names, but mate, if you haven't raced and won for 20 starts, I reckon keep the Cox Plate to a field of 10. I remember the year Oki won, there was about 14. There was three or four goats.
Yeah, no traffic.
We don't need them because you want every horse to have the perfect run. Whether you're a connection or a punter, let every horse have the perfect run and give you $20, the ride of its life, I say, and let the best horse win.
I've got a couple more for you. Wayne Hawkes is in the studio. Wayne Hawkes in the studio, a couple more than Malcolm Speed and Brian Curtis this hour. Adam Gilchrist at 11 is going to give you his first 11 for Australia's T20 World Cup campaign. We heard from Glenn Maxwell at the top of the show. Wayne, could you imagine a Cox Plate at 9?
I could. Well, you know what? It was a big debate, wasn't it, in the AFL, and they finally got their chance to have a look at the AFL. How did the AFL go?
Yeah, it ratted its socks off 2 years running.
So you know what? We're running this Friday night at Moonee Valley. When it rains, everyone says, how are we going to end up with Saturday racing? And to be fair, they've gotten away with it a few times. By the hair of their chinny chin chin, I would say, go the other way, Jared. Let's have a monster Saturday and let's have 14 race day.
Oh, the day-night meeting.
Day-night meeting. Roll it all into one and have 14 races. Let's not mess around. Let's go all in.
So the afternoon peak Manukato and then the evening prime time Cox Plate.
100%. Now, it mightn't be 14, it might be 12. But, you know, let's just have a mammoth. Now, I know jockeys are going to then say, you know, they'd be fatigued and stuff like that. And, you know, what if you were Kieran Maher and David Eustace, you'd probably be fatigued too. But it's only a one-off. It's only a one-off. They can run it at night. You know what I mean? Would you run it and have the Cox Plate at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night?
Probably 7:45, I reckon, might be the sweet spot for.
And then, but then it's the last race because then, then the hoo ha can continue.
Yep.
Make the hoo ha continue, then bring on, just roll old Darryl out one more time for the horses. That's the way it's going to be, little darling. You know, it works.
Is there any difference between day and night racing?
Not personally. From it is when you get home.
Yeah. So not the humans, but the actual race. So in footy, there are people who say the yellow ball and the dew compromises the actual game as opposed to it being in the
afternoon.
What's
it like to call it at night to the day?
Oh, the night is a spectacular.
Well, you don't have sun to worry about, do you?
All sport looks better at night.
Yep,
it's just, now that doesn't mean all sport should be at night.
No.
Is there any difference to a race in daylight as opposed to under lights?
Not really. I mean, at the end of the day, you have less sunlight. So you've got no sunlight at night. Excuse me. So at the end of the day, you don't have a sun issue because obviously, if it's not in your face down the side, it's going to be. Remember, Moonee Valley's about to be flipped around, and the home corner is going to be the winning post. So they're going to have some issues there with the sun. That's why Flemington aren't big on twilights, because when you get to the winner post, the sun's going to be coming down in your eyes a certain point of time. But that's okay. That, you know, at the end of the day, we work it out when it's going to be, and we have a little bit of a lull, and we finish on the Cox Plate, and we finish on a high. Darryl Braithwaite comes on, get the Rolling Stones there afterwards. No. Let's get fair income. Just go the full Monty.
Go all in.
That's the word I'm looking for, words. Yeah. Go all in. Run 12 races, Cox Plate last race, Manukato about race 8, and just have a super, super day. Because let me tell you one thing. Sydney can't touch us because they don't have lights. Well, they do at Canterbury, but they're not going to run a Saturday night. Randwick don't have the lights, and they won't be running an opposition day at Canterbury. Yeah. So we can't be touched if you want to look at it from that point of view. And it's very Sydney-Melbourne at the moment.
It is. Well, that's the start of a longer conversation. So last one, we might pick this conversation up next week. Is incentivised the next big thing in Australian racing?
Well, if he runs 2 mile, he wins.
Yep.
It's that simple. He's waited to win. There's no doubt about that. And as you said, we'll talk about it more next week. But Greg Carpenter loves going on history. But when you are handicapping a race, Jared, you've got to handicap what's in front of you. Don't worry about him with a weight-carrying record, because I'll give you one guarantee. Incentivised doesn't know what he's out there to do. He's a star. And we need a star. We need Masked Crusader. We need Incentivise. We need Animo to win on Saturday to become the next great star. And it's no different to Dusty Martin or any of your greats in the AFL. We need stars of the racing to come out and do it. And all money's on Incentivise. I mean, with the weight he's got, if he handles a 2 mile, which he will, he wins.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's pick this up next week then. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Wayne